This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Class Action is a production of iHeartRadio and Sound Argument.
I'm definitely having dreams about this trial. I'm having dreams that I'm like in court, like full on trial, getting objected to, objecting myself. And it's actually, you know, encompassing every part of my life now. I can't even get a good night's rest without dreaming about trial. I took a nap the other day and I had a dream that RBG came into my dream when I was in court, and she was getting mad at me that I wasn't objecting enough. It scared the living Jesus out of me. I was literally in court, and opposing counsel was just, you know, giving their director cross, and she's one of the judges, and she's just like looking at me like, why aren't you objecting? This is objectionable. Object. And I'm just like, I don't know how to object. I don't know what to say. Oh my God, I'm losing my mind. And she's just like getting annoyed with me. That just made me really sad. I was like, I can't. That's just the worst things in life, letting her down like that. She's one of my idols. Being a woman in the legal profession is not easy. And I hope things will change. And honestly, sometimes I have to be like, just take a deep breath. You can do it. I was feeling a little insecure, and I think she came into my dream and was like smacking that out of my mind.
I am, as you know from my responses to your questionnaire, a Brooklynite, born and bred. A first-generation American on my father's side, barely second-generation on my mother's. Neither of my parents had the means to attend college, but both taught me to love learning, to care about people, and to work hard for whatever I wanted or believed in. Their parents had the foresight to leave the old country when Jewish ancestry and faith meant exposure to pogroms and denigration of one's human worth. What has become of me could happen only in America. Like so many others, I owe so much to the entry this nation afforded to people yearning to breathe free.
In October 2021, Brooklyn Law School sent an all-female team of second-year law students to the Martin Luther King Civil Rights Competition, held virtually from the University of California, Davis. The team is coached by third-year students. They argued their case four different times in one weekend against some of the top rising legal talent in the country.
Then we saw Harvard. So we're all kind of just completely silent on the edge of our seats.
We did notice that it was an all-male team against an all-female team.
For these young idealists, the mock trial was a chance to see how their arguments could play out in the real world of American law.
So you referred to homelessness as a cancer, and you referred to homelessness as causing the decay of America.
Yes, it's causing decay. That's correct.
Where justice can be scarce, and litigation is often a bare-knuckled brawl. I'm Katie Fang. Welcome back to Class Action.
Okay. Everyone ready for the scrimmage?
Yes.
Samantha, you ready?
I'm just getting my timer. Hang on.
Oh, okay. Well, here, let's go with pre-trial. Start with pre-trial.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to episode 6, Civil Rights and How to Make a Cup of Chai.
Morning, Your Honor. Before we begin, the plaintiff has some housekeeping matters to attend to.
Okay, well, let's start with introductions.
I was born and raised in New York City, and I went to public school my whole life. My name is Ellie Sands. I'm a second-year law student at Brooklyn Law School. My full name is Eliana, but I go by Ellie. After college, I came back to New York, and I was a teacher in East Harlem. Just teaching at a school 40 blocks north of where I went to high school felt like I was in a third world country. There were things going on outside the school, like gang violence. There were things going on in my students' families, incarceration, that were severely impacting their ability to learn and perform in the school environment that was being ignored and was being disciplined harshly. I knew that it wasn't right. I ended up coming to law school because I couldn't make the kind of impact I wanted to without a law degree, without being able to sit in the courtroom and advocate on behalf of the clients that I was working with. And I specifically wanted to do a civil rights competition because that's the type of law I want to practice once I graduate.
Good afternoon. My name is Phoebe Menaker, and I also represent the defendant, Travis Gordon, in today's case.
My grandmother was a social worker for survivors of domestic violence. Between her impact that she's had on me and my general interest, that's brought me to the victim advocacy route. Working for a courtroom advocates project where survivors of domestic violence reach out to us and we walk them through the process of filing for their petition for an order of protection in family court. And then this summer, I was an intern in the Domestic Violence Bureau at the Brooklyn DA's office, working with misdemeanors. I think the way people enter the system through domestic violence is interesting because it's not their choice. I find having connection with a victim and having their perspective is so important in doing justice.
Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Catherine Boyko, and I, along with my co-counsel, represent the defendant, Travis Gordon, in today's case. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. My parents were born in Ukraine, and my mom was a lawyer back in Ukraine. My mom had to leave her home country to make sure I had a better life. So it was really important for me to carry on those dreams, carry on that ambition. It's important to me personally because I see that, you know, from personal work experience, that there are so many things that are just not right with the criminal justice system that I don't want to be overly ambitious and say that I'm going to be the person that fixes all of it, but I definitely want to play a part in that to do what I can to make things better for other people, defend people who can't really stand up for themselves.
Good afternoon, counselors. My name is Anjani Shah, and I represent the plaintiff, Ms. Riley Taylor, today. This is the first time I've ever done this. There are challenges. They're really just associated with, I think, overcoming your own discomfort and your own vulnerabilities and attacking those head on. For example, I think I am a very non-adversarial person. And obviously in a courtroom setting, it's an adversarial setting. So you do have people who are opposing counsel who are trying to potentially rile you up or potentially trying to make frivolous objections just to throw you off. And so dealing with that sort of discomfort has been challenging, but it's also something to confront before you actually get into a courtroom one day.
Anjani is the plaintiff. Anjani is the defense.
Anjani is the defense.
Anjani and Ellie have spent most of their law school years on Zoom. So it's only natural that they would be excited about being in court and in person.
So right now we're in the Brooklyn Law School moot court room. So basically what it looks like, there is a jury box, there is a witness stand, there's a place where the judge sits, and there is a giant audience portion of this room, takes up most of the room.
The party with the burden of proof sits closest to the jury. So the plaintiff or the prosecution sits closest to the jury. So the plaintiff would sit here, and then the defense would sit at the table farthest from the jury box.
They've got to feel out the jury more. They've got the burden. And so I think the person with the burden really has to convince the jury it's better to be in close proximity, because the closer you are to the jury, the more likely they are to see that counsel table's reactions. You know, they're more likely to hear what they have to say.
And the point of a direct examination is that you want the jury to be paying attention to the witness. You don't want the jury to be looking at you. You are not the star of the show. Your witness is the star of the show. Whereas on cross-examination,
so I'll be doing cross of this witness if Ellie is actually directing. So I stand here because I want the jury to see me and my reactions. And you as the witness are now looking at me and not them. So that actually has quite an effect on the jury as well when you're diverting your eyes away from them.
I'm the closer, so the difference between opening and closing is that in closing, you are reviewing all of the evidence that you brought in during your case in chief. So it's less scripted and more a summary of everything that came out during trial, a lot of which can be unpredictable, some of which could be good for your side, some of which could be bad for your side. So you have to be agile and sort of improvise some of what comes out in the closing. You also have to flip the other side's theme. That means that you want to turn the other side's argument against them.
So right now we're really ramping up for a competition. It's less than a week away, or about actually a week away. It's a very intimidating process to present a case. You know, as law students, we're so unfamiliar with this. And over Zoom, it's a whole other challenge. My name is Jane Dowling. I am the coach of the UC Davis Martin Luther King Civil Rights Competition. Confidence is really key. We're not really making substantive changes at this point. It's just sort of running through the material, practicing, honing in on some details, getting pumped up. Of course, we're law students. We all have strong personalities. Like, you don't come to law school if you don't have a strong volitions and strong opinions.
Brooklyn Law was founded in 1901 to serve working people, women, ethnic minorities, and immigrants. The school is across Girolamo Street from the Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg Municipal Building on a stretch of pavement now named Black Lives Matter Boulevard. Girolamo Street runs down to the East River, an area that once held molasses and sugar refineries, both industries that were rooted in America's slave-owning past. The young advocates on the Brooklyn Law Team keep that history in mind as they pack up their laptops and coffee and they fight through traffic to school every day. The building faces Cadman Plaza Park, just blocks away from the Brooklyn Bridge. In the last few years, Cadman Plaza has become the epicenter of many of Brooklyn's most heated protests.
Matter! My name's Stacey Kaplow, and I'm a professor of law at Brooklyn Law School, a very progressive and liberal student body here in New York. I'm also the Associate Dean for Experiential Education at the law school. It's what's called a standalone school. In other words, we're not part of a larger university. So as a school, we have a lot of independence and kind of nimble in terms of what we can and cannot do. Because we're located in the heart of New York, we have access to all sorts of resources within what is clearly the largest legal community in the world. So our students are out there all the time working, as well as obviously going to school and learning how to become lawyers.
The Brooklyn team has worked on arguments for both sides of the problem for the King competition. They have to picture what could possibly come at them, whether they're representing the plaintiff or the defense. They have to be ready for anything.
An overview of this case is that an executive order was put into place by the governor of a made-up state called the State of Columbia. This executive order implemented what is called a shelter station, which is supposed to take homeless individuals off of the street and help give them a place to stay, food to eat, a roof over their head. The plaintiff is bringing an Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual constitutional violation against the defendant. Firstly, a homeless person is taken to shelter station against their will. It's a detention center for which they do not know how long they will be detained for. A homeless person must complete classes in English and math. They must pass several hygiene requirements. They have to engage in a job while they're at the shelter station. And lastly, and perhaps most burdensome, they have to prove that they have permanent housing before they're released, but they're unable to save up money while they're at the shelter station.
The competition is the Martin Luther King Civil Rights Trial Practice Competition. UC Davis School of Law has been hosting that now for the last 4 years. I'm Dennis Cota. I supervise the trial practice program at UC Davis King Hall. I am a magistrate judge for the Eastern District of California.
There's a new option to help get dozens of people off the streets of Sacramento. This is the city's newest homeless shelter. Up to 100 people will begin staying here next week. The X Street Navigation Shelter is near Broadway and Alhambra. It is more than just a place to sleep, though. There's also life skills classes, recovery assistance, Medicare care, and financial counseling, as well as services for help people transition from homelessness to permanent housing.
Being in a city where you were having to step over the people living on the sidewalk made me realize that this is a societal issue with no easy solutions. And I thought this would be a good topic because these people, while they're clearly creating a strain on their community, still have rights. They're still citizens. Martin Luther King is a towering figure in the civil rights area.
And as we struggle to realize the American dream, let us realize that we do not struggle alone.
The law school at UC Davis is named after Martin Luther King. The students daily walk past a life-size ceramic figure of the late civil rights leader in the lobby of King Hall.
Even though there are difficult days ahead, even though before the victory is won, somebody else will have to get scarred up, somebody else will have to go to jail, maybe some will have to face physical death. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood, called bad names, be dismissed as dangerous rabble-rousers and agitators. Even in the midst of that, the struggle must go on.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
In the run-up to the event, the Brooklyn team practices against mystery teams made up of alumni who volunteer to help the 2Ls get ready to compete.
The only job you ever had was babysitting, correct?
Yes. Oh, wait. Wait, what the hell is... I'm not the witness. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I'm the attorney. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me back up. You take it away. I will be the attorney.
They go at it night and day.
That is all for defense.
Okie dokie. Plaintiff, do you have any additional housekeeping matters to address?
Yeah. Your Honor, we just asked that everything that applied to defense also applies to plaintiff.
Of course.
And also, as an aside, Your Honor, due to this my own version of cruel and unusual punishment from back-to-back courses, I may be eating throughout because I haven't had any food since I don't know how long, so if you see me eating, I'm sorry.
No problem at all. Thanks for the heads up. Okay, any other housekeeping matters from plaintiff?
The practice judges talk strategy to bring the four newbies up to speed.
Just keep your answers to yes or no, please.
The witness, if she answers the question, can answer however she feels. Counselor, if you're not getting the answers you want, you might want to narrow your questions a little bit.
Okay, sorry, Your Honor.
Don't apologize to me. It's okay.
Ms. Alfred, the shelter station.
It all comes down to four students and a coach or two in a room working hard.
That's Adam Schlahet, coach at Fordham University and one of our commentators.
Thinking about the case and arguing and figuring it out and practicing and running it again. That's the same at every single law school. It's what happens in that little room. The learning happens in that little room. Resources don't give anybody an advantage in that little room. You need people who really care about this and care about the students' learning and students who are motivated. You know, you can get that anywhere.
And you need to really tie yourself very, very closely to the law.
Laura Bazelon is a former federal public defender who now teaches at the University of San Francisco School of Law and runs its highly acclaimed racial justice clinic.
It's not enough to just have bravado and style if there's nothing else behind it. You have to absolutely understand what the governing law is. And if you're the prosecutor, be prepared to prove every element. And if you're the defense counsel, figure out which elements you don't need to contest and which ones you do.
So, Laura, when you're working with your students, is there something that you do to be able to say to them, look, on one end, you can't have an overzealous prosecution, but also on the other end, you can't have criminal defense attorneys that have blinders on.
How do you work with your students to let them know that this is a possibility when they go out into the real world?
I think it is really important to be honest about the fact that we have a lot of failings in the system and they're on both sides. So you're right. There are plenty of overzealous prosecutors. There are prosecutors who suffer from tunnel vision. There are prosecutors who commit misconduct, most of them not intentionally, but because they haven't been trained properly or they get caught up in the moment. At the same time, there are plenty of defense attorneys who are not doing their jobs. They may be poorly trained, they may be overwhelmed, or they may, quite frankly, just be lazy. And we have had many, many cases where the level of advocacy at the trial court on behalf of our post-conviction clients has been absolutely abysmal.
We're in good shape, but the more I learn about their situation, the more just devastating it is.
I'm also blown away by how kind and optimistic she is.
I agree.
The more I learn.
I mean, the system fails her over and over and over again, and she just continues to be the most wonderful person.
Yeah, and she'll also like text us and say like, how are you feeling today? Mm-hmm. Like, thank you so much for everything you're doing. She's
so grateful.
So sweet.
In addition to trial team, Ellie and third-year law student Regina Yu are working together on a real-world case for the Brooklyn Defender Service.
Any law school these days would have to have some clinical offerings, but we've been doing this for 50 years now.
Stacy Kaplow is the supervisor for the clinic.
Most students here at Brooklyn Law School, by the time they're finished, have 3, 4, maybe even 5 semesters of experiences in either in our clinics, which are in-house, or off-campus in law offices all over the city.
So that's the annoying form that the pardon office requires.
Yes. All right.
So how far along are we on the form?
Actually, almost done. Most of it's filled out.
So our client is a woman and a mother and a daughter and has been in this country for at least half of her life and all of her adult life. She first came here as a young teenager and had lawful status in the U.S., but as a result of a single mistake she made that violated federal law, she was prosecuted, convicted, served a sentence, and then was put into deportation proceedings. So one form of relief that we can try to obtain for them is to get a pardon from the president, and that pardon has the possibility of acting as, in effect, a defense to their deportation. Not a lot of people get pardons. You still want to do this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. With all the aggravating details.
That's what makes me want to do it more.
This is the least aggravating thing that I do. By far.
Okay, and the most meaningful.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good, good. I know Ellie from working with her this semester in the clinic, and she is dogged, but also has an extremely warm and pleasant way of expressing herself. And I think she's a good example, as is Anjani. If there's a way that you put yourself out there and you present yourself, be true to yourself. They really don't need to yell and scream. They can just be calm, collected, and forceful without having to pound the table.
So on Friday around 1 o'clock, we had a little team get together over Zoom, like we would in like a locker room, sort of.
This is Anjani.
Pump each other up, let each other know that we're not going to be more ready than we are today. Like we were about to like go into a game and it was like, leave it on the scoreboard. And then in the hour right before we actually entered the competition room, I have some like personal rituals that I do, which include listening and dancing to a very embarrassing Aretha Franklin Respect by myself in my room alone. I actually have not even like admitted that to a lot of people, so it's a very sacred ritual to me.
Well, you just admitted it probably to a lot of people, but that's okay.
It's out there now.
Yeah, it's out there now.
Exactly.
Very well. Plaintiff, are you ready to proceed with openings?
Yes, Your Honor, we're ready to proceed.
Very well, you may proceed.
A veteran, a patriot, a United States citizen, stripped of the rights she risked her life to protect. May it please the court, opposing counsel, members of the jury. My name is Anjani Shah, and I, along with my co-counsel, Ms. Ellie Sands, represent the plaintiff, Ms. Riley Taylor, in today's case.
Anjani opens as Brooklyn Law takes on the University of Connecticut in round one. It's her team's first appearance ever at a competition.
And after she was honorably discharged, she again answered the call to keep our country safe as a mechanic on military aircrafts. Unfortunately, in 2015, you will learn that Ms. Taylor was let go from her job. And just after she was let go, you will hear that her welfare check started getting smaller and smaller. So Ms. Taylor became just another data point in the city of Oakland's growing homeless population.
The Brooklyn team argues that the plaintiff has value and humanity. They deny that the homeless were rounded up in order to help them. Instead, Brooklyn insists the homeless were arrested for being poor.
Now, Chief Gordon, business was better in downtown Oakland?
Sure, yeah.
But the homeless population still existed.
Yes, we were not able to eradicate it completely.
You referred to homeless individuals as Skid Row rejects.
I may have, yeah.
You referred to homeless individuals as derelicts.
Yes.
You referred to homeless individuals as Mr. Ratso.
In connection with the public defecation, yes.
And vermin?
Yes.
I'm jumping ahead to your current role, Chief Gordon. You enforced Executive Order 113, right?
I do.
After the round, the team gathers online to wait for feedback, and they hear that they beat UConn. But the judges say they need to work on a few things.
Remove all references to I believe, I think. The court doesn't care about your feelings. It doesn't care about your beliefs. The court cares about the law. It cares about the facts, and it cares about what's happening on the record. It's not that you believe it's this. It's that this is the law.
There were times when I think you all could have done a better job listening to your witness, especially on direct. It often felt like maybe an objection came up or your witness didn't give you the exact answer. And then you had a hard time pivoting from there.
Well, thanks everybody. That was a great round. I thought the plaintiff, your crosses were good. Very good, in fact. Ellie, your cross was very good.
Brooklyn Law is listening. They beat Texas A&M in round two. Then they're power matched to UC San Diego.
Your Honor.
Objection sustained. Yes.
I also asked for motions to strike of all answers that reference camps from the record.
That I'm not going to do. You let the cat out of the bag a little too early. So we're just going to go ahead and proceed with what we have. Overruled on that.
Mr. Alfred, where are you going after you testify here to this?
I'm going back to the shelter station.
How long have you been in the shelter station?
Since January 2020.
UC San Diego wins round three, but the judges have some surprises in store for the Brooklyn team.
We were all at Anjani's house and we were starving. None of us had eaten yet because it was like a 13-hour day. We had gone straight through. We had ordered pizza and we were just stuffing our faces because we were so hungry at that point.
So we were sitting on the couch and on the screen, they were about to give off awards. And I was just like, oh, you know, opening statement awards, you know, Anjani or Phoebe should get that. And then the first thing that comes on is Anjani's name.
What just happened?
Anjani got the best opening statement.
We just all tackled her to the ground and were crying and screaming and so happy.
And to get recognized for something that I had no idea how to do 3-4 months ago out of a field of 44 other people who gave opening statements from Ivy League schools all across the country. So many talented advocates. was extremely validating that I have picked the right thing and I can do this. And this is for me, even though some days it may not feel like it.
And then they announced the semifinalists and they named the schools one by one. One school went by, then another school went by, then the third school went by, and we were the fourth school.
And our name pops up on the screen, and it was an eruption of screams and joy and like shrieking. And my neck, I feel so sorry for my poor next door neighbors who have young kids, because it must have been like 10:45 Eastern time when this was happening.
We were like, oh my God, we were screaming, we were jumping, we were screeching, we were like laughing, we were crying, we were hugging. It was like, it was a mess, but it was so exciting. And I'm so glad we got to share that moment together.
And then we were like, we gotta go home. Like, we have to prepare for tomorrow morning. And the way it worked was that there was a coin toss to see which side of our team would be competing in the semifinal. And our school won the coin toss, so our coaches chose to have Anjani and I go. Then we ended up putting on a case in the morning. Harvard was the reigning champion of this competition. They had won last year. Going against Harvard, I think, sure, the name is intimidating.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, when I told my parents, I mean, they were just ecstatic. They know how much time has gone into this and how much sacrifice I've had to make, because they're right over the bridge in New Jersey.
We just knew she was preparing. She was up against this big teams that have proved themselves in the past, and it was going to be a formidable competition.
Doctors Lena and Pradesh Shah are Anjani's parents.
And when she told us about how well their team did unexpectedly and how she did personally, on a personal level, how she excelled, we were just so happy and proud of her.
Well, to me, it was not unexpectedly. To me, it was, I knew.
No, I meant for the team, yeah. Like for the school. Yeah. You know, Brooklyn Law School had never never been placed that high in this sort of a competition.
First time doing this competition for Brooklyn.
If you're passionate about something, you can only be successful. Can I make you a cup of tea or something? A chai? You want to drink some chai?
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
It'll be spicy. You have a spicy?
Okay.
How about you, Lauren?
I don't know about spicy.
It's like peppery, cinnamony.
It's flavorful.
I could try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll try
a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay. Let me make some. This is loose leaf tea. So I got 3 cups of water in there. I have 2 tea bags. And I put 3 spoonfuls of loose leaf tea. Then I have... This is... Chai masala. Chai masala is cardamom, black pepper, cloves. So that's the spice.
So Anjani is the middle child. You know, from the day she was born, she already had that sense of fairness and justice, even when she was much younger. Like, you know, she would take an issue, however small, and just come up with an argument and say why this is not right.
So I'm basically the first lawyer in the family. It's kind of something that I had to chart by myself. I think I told them after the fact. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm on the moot court team. They were like, we have no idea what that is. I do think that the color of my skin makes it such that I need to be more prepared than whoever my adversary is at every turn. I mean, it's certainly something I've just had to live with my whole life. And at this point, it's become a hustle. It's become hard work and a way of life, because I know that the only reason my parents got to where they were and subsequently how they've been able to support me to get to where I am is because of all of that hard work and being more prepared than the person standing next to them. That's really all it comes down to.
Okay. I'm the oldest of 4 siblings. I lost my dad at a very young age. My mother raised us all 4 by herself. You know, she managed to make sure we were all not only just provided for, but also went on to be well-educated and professionals. So I went to medical school at a very young age. Like I was not even 18 when I started medical school. This was in India. So I went from a small town to a big city to learn medicine, and that's where I met him. And he was, you know, a quote-unquote foreigner because he came from Kenya.
I was born in Nairobi, Kenya, and my father was born in Nairobi, Kenya. Kenya was a British colony. East Africa was a British colony. My father was a very, a person of modest means. We lived in a one-bedroom apartment, 5 of us. I'm the middle of 3 siblings. So my father said, okay, you know, who's going to become the doctor here? You know, so it was left up to me. And being a person of modest means, you know, education's very expensive abroad, England, America, things like that. And so I opted to go to India, where the education was cheap. 4.5 years in medical school. And then I decided to come here to the United States. It took me 2 years to find a residency. And it was, somebody gives you an opportunity.
Oh, Dad. I can get you some water.
He hasn't thought of the whole journey in a long time.
It's coming back to him. Yeah.
So thank you, Kevin. He probably needs this.
No. I ended up getting an opportunity from a residency training director. My own director, who gave me the externship, called me up and said, come and do a residency with me. I don't need to interview you. I know who you are.
You're still in touch with him.
Yeah.
He's your mentor. He was an immigrant himself.
Okay. Then I flavor it with cardamom, ground up cardamom. Okay. Then I'm going to get some mint and I'm going to get some ginger. Fresh mint, fresh ginger. This is the ratio I use. Everybody doesn't use the same ratio. So I'll take my ginger and I'll grate some ginger in it, right?
You can already smell it.
You can smell it, right? And then I'll take some fresh mint. Put the fresh mint in there. And then it'll come to a boil, because you got to let it boil. And then you'll add the milk.
Starting with the plaintiff, do you have any other housekeeping matters to cover that I have not covered?
Right from the start, the judge is tough on Ellie.
Yes, Your Honor. The plaintiff has a few housekeeping matters to attend to. Firstly, would Your Honor like a courtesy copy of the plaintiff's notice of appearance?
No, I don't need one.
Would Your Honor like a brief recitation of the facts for today's case?
Not as a housekeeping matter, no.
Your Honor, for judicial notice, we have discussed our motions in limine with opposing counsel during pretrial and have stipulated to exclusion of three pieces of evidence.
Those are in limine matters. I am asking only for housekeeping matters. Stipulations will cover.
Yes, Your Honor. Additionally, Your Honor, permission to have local rules constructively read into the record?
Local rules do not need to be read into the record.
He was a tough cookie for sure, but Ellie, you know, she stood her ground, she like recuperated, and she, you know, she was not fazed, and I'm really proud of her for that. And so I was literally sitting on the edge of my seat. My whole family was actually watching too, as spectators, and they were on the edge of their seats too.
But just because those competitors go to Harvard Law School doesn't necessarily make them better advocates than us because we go to Brooklyn Law School. You've all had the material for the same amount of time. You've all been training for the same amount of time, and you all have the same resources to a certain extent. Going against four males, it's interesting, that was the first thing Anjani and I said to each other, is that we're going against an all-male team and we have a male judge.
The case is on. Ellie questions Phoebe, who is acting as a witness.
How long have you been at Shelter Station 3, Ms. Alfred?
Over a year and a half.
Do you know how much longer you'll be there for?
I have no idea. No one's actually told me. All I know is that I can't leave.
Why not?
Well, there are requirements before I can leave. Detainees must work. I have to take classes in hygiene and math and English, and I need to pass a test that they give us at the end of every month. And the test is really hard.
Why is the test hard?
Well, there are a whole bunch of word problems on the math test, and I don't have enough time to complete the questions. I also can't use a calculator.
Would you recognize that test if you saw it here today?
Yes.
Your Honor, directing witness, court, and counsel's attention to what has been pre-marked as Trial Exhibit 2, permission to share via the screen share function constructively outside the presence of the jury.
You may proceed.
Please let the record reflect.
Your Honor, I have an objection to this exhibit on hearsay ground.
You're premature for your hearsay objection. Proceed, counsel.
Anjani pushes back against the Harvard defense.
So let's start by talking about the Shelter Station program. Can you describe it for the jury?
The Shelter Station program was a rehabilitative program put in place because the state of Colombia was in a state of crisis.
Objection, what was the Your Honor. On two grounds, one being speculation and two being lack of expertise. And I can explain further, Your Honor, if you wish.
I have not yet had the witness tendered as an expert, so it's a little the proper objection would be foundation. And if you are disputing the qualifications of the expert, you're free to voir dire if that's your request.
Your Honor, may I?
Plaintiff, do you wish to voir dire the expert?
Yes, Your Honor, may I inquire?
You may.
Dr. Cole, you've based your conclusions today on the established principles in the field of urban social symmetry?
That's correct.
Urban social symmetry is a relatively new field?
Yes, it's an exciting new field.
And you testified that urban social symmetry is about how demographic groups interact with each other, correct?
Exactly, and the effects it has on urban life and communities, exactly.
Just a yes or no will suffice, Dr. Cole, thank you. Dr. Cole, you consider homelessness to be one part of that broad specialty?
That's correct.
You're aware that the issue in today's case is homelessness?
That's correct.
We're not here to discuss urban social symmetry.
No, not the field as a whole, that's correct.
In fact, today is the first time you're testifying about homelessness.
Yes, that's correct.
No further questions, Your Honor. He does not meet the first requirement of Federal Rule of Evidence 702 and should not be tendered as an expert today.
As Anjani cross-examines a key witness, she's honing in on Harvard's main line of argument. She denies that shelter stations are a way to help homeless people. Instead, Anjani insists, the city and state are more interested in scoring points with voters for cleaning up the streets. They don't really care about helping the homeless.
You may proceed cross-examination.
Yes, Your Honor. Dr. Cole, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Dr. Cole, have you testified as an expert before?
Yes, I have.
And you get paid by your client each time you testify?
Of course.
Today, the client paying your fee is the defendant, right?
That's correct.
I think I saw what they were trying to do, and that actually lit a little bit of a fire in me to say this expert is trying to sound really good and pull the wool over the jury's eyes and pull the wool over my eyes, frankly, and it's not going to work. And you're aware that Executive Order 113, created by Governor Faris, is at issue in this case?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Dr. Cole, you've published research about urban social symmetry?
That's correct.
And much of that research is specifically focused on homelessness, right?
Yes.
For example, you published a piece titled, A Societal Sickness, the Cancer Called Homelessness.
Yes, that's correct.
You also published a piece titled, A Society Out of Balance, Homelessness and the Decay of the American Community.
Yes, exactly.
So you referred to homeless individuals as a cancer.
I referred to homelessness as a cancer, not homeless individuals. It's a fine distinction. It's a cancer upon the people who it inflicts.
So you referred to homelessness as a cancer?
That's correct.
And you referred to homelessness as causing the decay of America?
Yes, it's causing decay. That's correct.
This expert is an expert in urban social symmetry, which is just absolutely the most absurd specialty I have ever heard of. Sorry to anyone out there who is actually an expert in urban social symmetry. I'd like to meet one someday. Yeah, I felt that that was the most effective way to make this expert really look silly. So those traps were very purposefully laid.
Everything now depends on the closing.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
It's Ellie against Harvard. She argues that the defendant, in effect, sentenced a veteran to indefinite detention at a shelter station, and she denounces the defendant's refusal to take the stand.
Members of the jury, the defendant didn't even bother to show up in court today. The defendant himself has no defense. There were countless other ways the defendant could have helped the homeless population. He chose not to.
In its closing argument, Harvard flips that theme, claiming the shelter stations are meant to help. This is a part of the process that activist lawyers relish. Ellie goes straight at the defense in her rebuttal.
Ms. Taylor and all homeless people in the state of Columbia are subject to future indefinite detainment because of the fact that they are homeless. The defendant is not interested in eradicating homelessness. The defendant is interested in eradicating homeless people. The defendant has used belligerent language to describe Ms. Taylor and other homeless people before. Words like vermin and derelicts are simply part of his vocabulary. The fact that government officials like Chief Gordon use words like this to describe members of the public show he's not qualified to be a public servant. Now, this executive order lumps all homeless people together under the definition of vagrancy.
Ballots in, thank you. You guys would like to give feedback if you want, and then Vivian will come and announce which team moved on.
This is by far one of the best of our trials I've witnessed. I tried to take notes. I couldn't see much room for improvement. I want to take note of when you guys actually become lawyers so that I can set my retirement for that time, because I'm not going to be able to compete. Next.
I was honored to be here today. These are two extraordinary teams, four extraordinary future lawyers. I'd be happy to work with you. My job is, I'm a general counsel for a $340 billion financial institution. I hire lawyers all the time. I retain lawyers all the time. All four of you would be in my pool. I'd hire you anytime. You've chosen the right profession. You're extraordinary. I've judged a number of these mock trials over the years, and I think this is the best that I've seen.
I have to say, you were all terrific. My only suggestion would be that the closing argument probably ought to be easier to remember than a long argument.
I will echo those comments that, you know, when you get out in practice, you're going to find that the hardest part about jury trials is, or any kind of court appearance, is standing up in front of 12 people who couldn't escape jury duty, or three judges that you think know the law so much better than you when they really don't, and not stammering and losing your place, and then sitting down and realize that you didn't zip up your fly after the last trip to the restroom. I guarantee you those mistakes will happen to you. But I would encourage you to focus your opening statements simply on your narrative of the facts. How can you explain the facts of your case in a persuasive way in 3 minutes, in a way that would persuade your Trump-supporting drunk uncle at Thanksgiving to believe your case?
The judges issue their ruling.
Hi, it's Vivian. Congratulations to all teams that made it to the semifinals. It's been wonderful having you all. This was a very, very close round. But the team that is advancing to the final round is Team F. Congrats. Also, Team A, wonderful job. Really, really congratulations. Everyone's been doing wonderful, and good luck, Team F. In the next round, a few questions, I'm gonna jump back to the main room. So ask me questions there, but otherwise everyone else is free to go.
Thank you all.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you all.
Harvard advances. Brooklyn is out.
You know, they threw a huge curveball at us. They didn't call the defendant, and they were representing the defendant in their case.
And we've run so many hypotheticals. We've practiced against so many different people. We've combated so many different personalities, thinking that we had prepared for every possible scenario. In no possible scenario did we ever think the defense would not call the defendant. I ended up having to give a cross-examination that I had never done before because I normally cross the defendant, and I had to rewrite my entire closing statement during the trial because my entire closing statement was attacking the character of the defendant. So there was a lot of agility and adjusting necessary in that round.
I felt that it was so close. Like, honestly, when we were getting the judges' feedback, I go through this, like, it's been what, like a month now? I go through this almost like daily in my head. I'm like, oh, why did we lose? So I think that I felt we won just because of how hard we worked and how good our trial was, despite the craziness of what happened behind the scenes. I felt that we walked away as winners despite not advancing to the final round.
Their advocacy was better than our advocacy in that round, and that's why they won. Harvard didn't call the defendant. That was well within their choice. We as a team fell short in preparing for that possibility. I learned a lot from that competition. I learned more than anything to expect to be thrown off your game. It's a matter of anticipating that there is going to be something in the course of the trial that you are not going to expect. And you need to go in being prepared to go outside of your comfort zone, going in being prepared to do something differently than what you anticipated. It's a little bit of a metaphor for life.
Sure, it'd be nice to beat Harvard, but the Brooklyn team has learned a valuable lesson. Soon they'll be walking out the door to take the bar exam, and instead of practicing for mock trial, they'll be practicing law. And on behalf of their real-world clients, they'll never let someone do that to them again.
I think for myself, for Anjani, for the rest of our team, and for our coaches, this isn't a game for us. This is what we want to do with our lives, and we're very much invested in social change. We're very much invested in the issues that this case raised: homelessness, police discretion, poverty, criminal justice, constitutional rights. And so for us, this was really an introduction to our careers. And so it really wasn't about winning or losing. It was about representing our client and our values and our morals in the best way that we could. I think the biggest update that we have is that your pardon is officially filed, Crystal. It's a 500-page application that we sent over to the Federal Pardon Office. And now we just wait. Now we just wait for a response.
Okay.
Crystal, how does it make you feel to know that you have this exceptional group of people that are just good people as human beings, but are exceptional advocates that are working for you to help you and your family be able to stay in the United States?
I feel very wonderful. I feel very blessed. And I thank all of them for their help to take the time out to, you know, take my case.
I understand that your family has faced great tragedy, and that there is this possibility that if you were to return to Jamaica, that you yourself would be at serious physical risk of harm and maybe even death. I can't imagine how difficult it is for you to have to kind of process all of this information. How do you manage this just on an emotional level, on a personal level, when you think about on a day-by-day basis, like what your future may be?
Well, it's like, it's hard. It's hard for me and my kids because I'm sorry. It's like it's getting closer to court dates and my kids cry all the time. You know, now everybody starts sleeping in the room with me, so they're trying to spend time with me before. And then my family comes over, my niece and nephew, so they're coming back over for spring break. So it's like, it's really sad.
And Ellie, if you had that unfettered, completely free conversation, maybe with the immigration judge, or maybe if it was just Joe Biden just sitting there across from you, what would you say, Ellie?
I'd probably read them a couple paragraphs from the pardon application. I would just look that pardon official in the eye and ask them, you know, what would you do if you couldn't feed your child? And how would you want to be treated?
Okay. This is an introductory paragraph to the entire pardon. In this application, we will share Ms. Morris's story with you. It is a story of resilience. Crystal Morris is a woman who refused to let herself be defined by the cruelty and hardships inflicted upon her, but instead took the fragmented pieces left behind by her abusers and the murderers who took the lives of her brothers and turned these misfortunes into a beautiful, complex, and full life. Ms. Morris has, against all odds, created a stable home for herself, her six children, and her mother. In this application, we will bring you into her life, through the past, into the present, and provide a window into her future. However, we implore you to recognize that Ms. Morris is so much more than we could ever explain through words on a page. Crystal Morris is joy and grace embodied. We hope to provide you with the opportunity to become as moved and inspired by Ms. Morris's incredible display of strength and perseverance as we have been.
Crystal, I'm sure that there are miracles, but it sounds like you've got angels on earth that are looking out for you right now in the form of Ellie and Michelle and Dan and everybody. So I wish you the very best of luck, Crystal. But if I had anybody like these fine people fighting for me, I'd feel like I got a little bit of luck and I got a whole lot of some of God's grace helping me out right now.
Thank you. Yes.
As for the rest of the season for Brooklyn Law, the team won the Fordham University Kelley competition, beating UCLA. Ellie competed in the regional national championship for the Texas Young Lawyers Association, advancing to the quarterfinals. She was then voted on to the national team for next season. Anjani competed in the Queens County District Attorney's competition, advancing to the quarterfinals. She was selected to serve as president of the Moot Court Honor Society.
But I received the phone call saying, hey, the judges are saying that you guys are cheating because you have one advocate playing all the roles.
Before you all remove yourselves from the room, can we have the team for the plaintiff? We need to verify which one of you all did which portions of the trials.
So the only thing that's similar to them is that they're both Latinas. They're both brown skinned. Other than that, it's two completely different people, and you can't mix them up.
That's next time on Class Action. Class Action is a production of iHeartRadio and Sound Argument. Created, produced, written, and edited by Kevin Huffman and Lisa Gray. This episode was written by Wendy Nardi. Executive producers are Taylor Chacoin and Katrina Norvell. Sound design, editing, and mixing by Evan Tyre and Taylor Chacoin. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.